Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Excel Media 2018 full-year numbers presentation. I'm Ori Weiss, founder and CEO. Today, we will go over the financials for the year, important events, changes in regulation, and a few strategic changes we've done, both during 2018 as well as in the beginning of 2019. Excel Media is a leading performance marketing and online publishing company. We attract paying users from different online mobile channels and direct them to online businesses. In exchange, we get paid by performance-based models. The most important verticals for the group are online gambling and personal finance. The main source of revenue is a wide network of publishing assets, the majority of which have been developed internally. Some have been acquired. We're a very cash-generative business, working on high margins, and we support a progressive dividend policy. The high-level numbers for 2018 were revenues of $117.9 million, adjusted EBITDA of 43.9, and a dividend of 7 cents per share. 2018 net profit was $20.8 million. Obviously, this is affected by a one-time impairment charge of $9.9 million, and the adjusted net profit for the year is higher. The dividend, of course, is calculated according to the adjusted net profit. We finished the year with $47.6 million in cash and short-term investments. In terms of customers, the 300-plus number relates to gambling customers. We also have a wide variety of customers in other sectors. A number we usually mention is our Tier 1 publishing assets, and this means the main revenue-driving assets in our publishing network. The number for those is now around 160. We currently employ about 400 employees, and we operate across 20-plus countries. Key highlights for the year. We announced a strategic pivot to focus on the high-margin publishing division. The main focus of that is to focus on long-term revenue, high-quality earnings, and mainly sustainable earnings. We've actively reduced a number of low-margin media activities. These are media activities that, for us, we define as non-core. These activities do not deliver the sustainable revenue we're looking for, do not necessarily work on margins that we think are both sustainable and interesting for the group. When I say interesting, I mean we obviously have the option of working in verticals and sectors that deliver much higher margins, so we can be quite selective there. We're seeing a trend of, relatively sporadic spend by the customers, a shift away from models that we would prefer, which are revenue share and cost per acquisition. Given that we see plenty of opportunities both in the gambling sector, which we will talk about, as well as in our nascent personal finance sector, trading for 2019 started with our expectations. The shift, of course, will have an effect on the numbers, which we've published in February. And something important for me to mention is that going into the year, we as a board and as a management were concerned what kind of business would we be left with in the end of 2019, in the beginning of 2020. Is this a business that works in the sectors that it delivers the best results? Is this a business that would have capitalized on all the opportunities that present themselves? For example, the US online gambling sector? Probably not. Hence, the decision was made early in the year to proactively change the mix of revenue, to proactively focus on the better and more sustainable parts of the business. Hence, the change we announced in February. Our personal finance business, which we've been very excited about over the last couple of years, is performing well. As of 2018, it represented 6% of group revenue. And obviously, going forward in 2019, we expect this part of our business, and it is performing in par with our expectations, to grow quite substantially and become a much bigger part of the revenue. We are committed to maintaining a progressive dividend policy of minimum 50% and a share buyback program, which we started in December. And as I mentioned before, obviously the dividend is calculated according to the adjusted net profit. Moving on to slide 7, regulation in gambling. It's been a hectic year in many countries that we work in, and I'll try to review some of the regulatory changes. North America, obviously the most exciting part, everyone is talking about it. Early in the year, PASPA, which regards sports betting, was overruled by the Supreme Court. And this has created a very interesting opportunity for states to regulate online sports betting on a state-by-state basis. We've already seen a few states take advantage of this and start, or even some of them even finish, the process of regulation. Obviously, it is very early days, And there are a lot of question marks regarding timing and what kind of products will be regulated and which operators will be able to work there and what the tax rate will be and what product and so on. But this is probably one of the bigger things that could have happened to the gambling industry since UEGA in 2006, in which online gambling was effectively prohibited all across the U.S. For us, we now see this as a very big opportunity. We also will, and I will discuss our U.S. strategy in depth, but I would say that this is, as I repeat and say, this is probably the biggest opportunity in the gambling market currently. The UK, a lot has been said about the UK. For us, we see this as one of our better and most important gambling markets still. It is a highly regulated market with a tax rate of now 21% for non-sports betting products and 15% for sport betting products. The 21% will come into force as of April 1st this year. This relates to casino, bingo, and poker. And lottery as well. We've invested quite a lot in the UK sports industry. We've also invested in the UK bingo industry with the acquisition of Which Bingo last year. We're delivering solid results and solid level of growth, and we are very confident of the UK. Of course, a lot has been said about the various ad restrictions and the gambling regulator having issues with all kinds of advertisements, both on the operator side as well as some affiliate activity. For us, we take a very conservative approach to regulation, and we try to be as clean as possible to the extent that in some cases we believe we're probably too compliant in the sense that we would have more terms and conditions than needed and less intrusive ads. But this is the strategy going forward. We believe that in the long run, with dialogue with the regulator, we will be able to loosen this up a bit. But at this point, we are taking all the precautions necessary to avoid getting any kind of fine, any kind of ban. And we're seeing that results are still good. Obviously, it is a bit more limited conversion rates than had we advertised in whatever manner we wanted. But these are sustainable earnings. And we still see the UK as a growing gambling market for us. Asia Pacific, not a lot to say here. We, with the exception of Australia, which we effectively left most of our activities there in the end of 2017, we're not active in the Asia Pacific gambling market, as in China or other Asian countries. If there is any change, obviously we will look into it. Other states in Europe also going through changes. Germany, as of a few days ago, just announced a nice progress in terms of re-regulating sports betting. The state that has allowed for gambling licenses has decided to extend it. There's discussion in other German states to allow for gambling licenses, potentially some interstate treaty. The future of sports betting there is looking very promising. We're investing most of our efforts to growing our German sports betting activity. We're also active in German casino, which is performing well. Still a bit more question marks around that, where that's going, but our faith is that online casino will be regulated in Germany in the not so distant future. But we see Germany as a more mid to long term opportunity, especially in the sports betting sector. Sweden, one of the most important markets for us, has regulated as of 1st of January 2019 with an 18% tax rate. We find this to be a very positive development, not necessarily because it's Sweden, because any country that regulates is a positive development. We're seeing good results as of Q1 of this year. We have a strong market-leading position in the online casino sector in Sweden, and we would like to extend our position also to the online sports betting. But this is a positive development. We've seen a few other countries also introduce gambling regulations, which, for example, Slovakia, which has introduced a regulatory environment which will give 22% tax. This, of course, is a change in the sense that many of these countries you could have worked with an international license and effectively pay us a much lower tax rate. Of course, it has a short-term or mid-term revenue effect, but it equates to better quality earnings. This is a kind of a wide statement to make. As management, as somebody that's invested in this industry for a very long period of time and intends to stay with it for a very long period of time, we prefer to make any dollar, euro, Swedish krona, or pound sterling in a regulated market as opposed to an unregulated market. This is a positive development. And even if, for example, in Sweden, the amount of total revenue for the country will flatten from 2018 to 19, it has effectively grown by 18%. Something important to mention from our perspective, when a country regulates and when there's a tax rate from up, it is deducted from the top, from the revenue, because obviously the net gaming revenue decreases. So it doesn't go into the tax line, it goes straight into the revenue. So we expect short-term effect, obviously, by some of these regulatory changes, but both higher quality of earnings going forward, as well as a less competitive market. And we are one of the top providers of traffic and users in many of these markets. Moving on to slide 9, Obviously, we can still see the trajectory. The multi-year trajectory is very positive here. 2018 showed a decrease as a result of operational headwinds that we talked about both in June 2018 as well as February of this year. There's been a consistent growth in both revenue and EBITDA. We've shown a compound annual growth since listing of 23% for revenue and 22% for adjusted EBITDA. There were a number of headwinds, I mentioned them, but we believe these were limited headwinds and we are on the right track to correct them. H2 18 has already shown better performance than H1. We're seeing a recovery of the assets, some of them not as fast as we would like to see, but still, from our perspective, within the normal realm of time frame that this usually takes, and we believe these assets will recover. Generally, we've seen a good performance over the year, strong delivery of cash generation and revenue. Obviously, there's some more to be desired in terms of growth, and we will work on that in 2019 when we're confident we can deliver that. Moving on to slide 10, the revenue diversification, we can see that Scandinavia is now 36% of revenue, North America, which that is predominantly personal finance. And then we have other Europe, which is predominantly countries like Germany, as well as a few other European countries. Then we have the UK at 11%, and other territories, that is anything from Asia to English-speaking countries outside of the US and the UK. We've seen quite a diversified revenue chart in terms of geography. Product-wise, we see gambling at 68%, quite stable. When we mentioned personal finance at 6%. In terms of model, we mentioned we will display CPA. So now CPA was 20%, revenue share was 54%. We do expect, as I mentioned, personal finance to become a much more important part of revenue during 2019. Moving on to slide 11, the income statement. We saw revenues drop by 14.4% to 118 million. These are mainly a result of the operational challenges we've seen in terms of the performance of some of the publishing assets, as well as changes to the media environment that we've mentioned before. Again, we do believe the network will go back to growth during 2019, and not just acquisitive growth. The publishing revenue during 2018 did grow marginally as a result of acquisitions, not as a result of organic development of the assets. But we're seeing very encouraging signs that these assets will recover during 2019. Already Q1 is showing this. Gross profit was $67.9 million, which represents 58% of revenue, and adjusted EBITDA at $43.9 million, which represents 37% of revenue. Operating expenses remained broadly flat. That reflects our ongoing investments, both in R&D and marketing. Obviously, we've exited certain media activities. This is mainly goodwill and systems, and that makes up for an impairment charge of $9.9 million. Group effective tax rate in 2018 was 17.5%. We have a decrease in tax that relates to a $2 million settlement with Israeli tax authorities in 2017. Net profit was 20.8. Obviously, with the adjustment of that one-time impairment cost, net profit, the adjusted net profit would be higher. And that's how we will be calculating the dividend for the year. Moving on to slide 12, the cash flow statement. The business was, is, and remains a very highly cash-generative business. Net cash from operations was $31.8 million. We used the cash mainly for investments, acquisitions to the amount of $47 million this year, and capitalization of system development accounted for $8 million. Financing activity, the main item, was the placing of shares in January. It was placed at 190 penny. The proceeds from that were 31.7 million sterling, or $42.6 million. We've also returned $14.4 million in dividends and started a buyback plan. At the end of the year, the net cash position was close to $48 million. Moving on to slide 13, the balance sheet. The group delivered another strong balance sheet. Trade receivables dropped a bit as a drop of revenue. Our typical payment cycle is between 30 to 60 days. Working capital of $41 million. The increase in non-current assets is driven mainly by acquisition. We have a strong equity base of $166.8 million, representing 85% of the balance sheet. All in all, I would say, another good performance financially, and we are very confident of 2019 and the future. Moving on to slide 15, the growth initiatives. We want to strengthen our focus on the publishing assets, as we announced in February. That is the main profit center of the business, focused predominantly on gambling and personal finance. We have reduced certain activities that showed lower margin, lower potential, lower sustainability of earnings. We continue to develop personal finance, and we, as I mentioned a few times before, we expect it to be a much larger proportion of revenue for 2019, and the network is performing very well. We would like to expand our footprint in the U.S. gambling market. We've announced in February a multi-year investment plan, and I'll mention this again more in depth now. The U.S. represents a very strong opportunity going forward. And we do believe, and I'll mention this more in slide 19, we will invest heavily in it. Ongoing investment in technology. Obviously, we need to develop tech to support the growth of the business, and the business is expected to go back to growth. Slide 16, to focus on the publishing expertise. I've spoken about this a few times, but I would say we would like to predominantly continue developing our assets in North America, as well as continue developing assets in regulated European markets. There'll be less of a focus on acquisitions this year. We've made quite a few acquisitions in 2018, but I will talk about that on the M&A slide. As I mentioned, we've committed to invest in the publishing sector, which predominantly will go to the online gambling market in the US, but as well as a few other regulated gambling markets in Europe. Slide 17, I'll reiterate that we are proactively reducing media activity. This relates to $30 million in revenue for 2019 that we will not be focused on. And this revenue would correlate to a relatively low EBITDA of around between $2 to $2.5 million. And obviously with the costs coming under the EBITDA, this would have not have been a very profitable revenue. We have the option of working on much higher margin, much more higher profit parts of our business, and we will take this option. Slide 18, personal finance. Obviously, this is a sector that we've invested in, we've talked about a lot, and we're seeing good results. We've expanded our reach beyond just credit cards, which we started in, to a variety of different banking products, from credit cards to mortgages, to deposit accounts, to loans, to robo-advisors, to stockbrokers, and so on and so forth. Focused exclusively on North America, the US, and Canada, we're seeing very good signs. We've expanded the network to have some leading assets in the US and Canada, and we expect this trend to grow. Slide 19, the U.S. gambling opportunity. Obviously, I've mentioned this a few times, but we have decided to take more of a build approach than a buy for the simple reason that A, there's not that much to buy, and B, XL Media has a history of more than 15 years developing gambling assets. This is really our core expertise. As opposed to a few other companies in the sector which take a more of acquisitive approach, we've always focused on developing our own assets, and especially in the market like the U.S., we believe this is the way to go. We will, of course, be looking for acquisitions, and if there will be any interesting acquisition, there are JV opportunities, we'll be happy to look at them. But we are investing on a multi-tiered approach, both on a state-specific, product-specific, as well as wider sites targeting a larger group of potential users in the U.S. And this will obviously be affected by the pace of regulation in different states. But as we've said before, we've committed $7 million over the course of 3 years, mainly to target this market. Slide 20, M&A. We've obviously acquired quite a few assets over 2018. 2019 will be still about acquiring some assets, predominantly in regulated markets in gambling as well as personal finance. But the main focus is to both digest the acquisitions we've made, and we've made very good ones. We're happy with their performance, as well as being a bit more selective. And we feel that our strong balance sheet and low debt, we have a very strong net cash position, puts us in a place where we could pull the trigger at any point and in almost any kind of deal we would want. And this is obviously a great place to be in. The summary, reiterate a lot of what I've said. First of all, I'd like to thank our investors for supporting us through what is not an easy year, but a pivotal year for the business, which I think we will come out very strong from. I also like to thank our employees. They've been working very hard, and the team is dedicated to learning from some mistakes that have been made that led to the June 2018 downgrade. And the decision made in February to refocus the business may have short-term effects on revenue, but we'll end up in a much stronger business, which I personally believe is more sustainable and is in a better position to capitalize on what are a variety of opportunities, both in gambling and personal finance. We are seeking to create a very broad network of assets in publishing and really go back to basics, to what we're best at, which is developing these publishing assets, optimizing them, and reaping the long-term benefits of that. We will continue to focus on being a very highly cash generative yielding business with the dividend policy, as well as buying back shares at what we believe is a very attractive price. We will focus on maintaining the financial stability of the business and delivering good results in the medium to long term. This is the plan. 2019 has started well, and we are in line with our revised forecast for the year, and we feel very comfortable going forward. But we have to remember, there are a lot of opportunities out there. We would like to invest in them. And this is something that we will be updating the market constantly as to what our plans are, how we want to capitalize on these opportunities, and how we're performing. Thank you very much.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.